Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful name, Christ Jesus. It is indeed a pleasure to be back on the air once more and again on this Thursday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And I'd like to welcome everyone under the sound of my voice to the Warfare Hour. Hallelujah. God bless you and God keep you is my prayer for you on today. God is truly good. He is truly magnificent and wonderful, and he is always worthy to be praised. We pray that you've had an enjoyable time since we've last met, and we recognize that there's been some tragedies, there's been some ups, some downs, some great things, some wonderful things, some misadventures, and all manner of things that's happened to you since we last conversed. And I recognize that you may not get an opportunity to say anything to me until the end of the podcast, but we do listen to what it is that you have to say, and we do look forward to hearing your voices. God has truly been good. And we even right now thank the Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders International for allowing us this opportunity once more and again to come to you and present what God has given us, share with you concerning his word. So this is the Warfare Hour. I am Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson. I'm podcasting from the Living Word Christian Center facility here in the City of Glory, better known as Gary, Indiana, 235 West 40th Avenue here in the City of Glory. I do represent the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International Incorporated, and my co-host is none other than Prophet Corey Graddick, and we look forward to him being a part of what it is that we have today. God has truly been blessing us, and everybody's going through a little bit of something. And we recognize that everybody's going through something, but I'm here to tell you that Apostle Emmons, who is our covering here at the Living Way Christian Center, is talking about the last 2 months is months of miracles. And if you're looking for a miracle, this is the time and this is your season to receive it. And we pray that the word that God has given us, we pray that what he has for us on today would not only enlighten you, not only give you, as we often say, things that make you go, but give you some food for thought and different ways, means, and abilities to go forth, fight that enemy, tell others about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let people know the way, the truth, and the light through the way that is written in the scriptures, not being controversial, but correcting folks, letting people know, because it's time for the church to stand up. Stand up and be counted. It's not a time to sit on the sideline. If you are one that likes to sit in the pews, guess what? Time to take the shades off, move a little bit closer to the front of the chat, and he that has the ear, let him hear what the word and what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Hallelujah. We've been blessed with great health. We've had miracles happen to us. And as we were saying earlier, we'd like to thank the Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Builders for allowing us this opportunity and ask that everyone would pray for our own evangelist, Dana Hannah, in our hour of bereavement and their family. They lost their grandfather. We've been praying with them, and the homeborn service is going to be shortcoming. I believe it's going to be Monday. As we get more information, we'll provide it to you, but we want to support this lovely and this strong woman of God has stayed on the walls. And these are the things that we've been taught to do. We've been taught to put ourselves in a position of servitude. And she's a grand example of staying on the wall. She should be We pray for our family. We pray for their strength and that peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful and magnificent name. Well, this is the month of April. This is the greatest month in the world. You know, I'm a little partial to the month of April. That's the month that God allowed me to come into the earth realm. So next Thursday, our podcast will be on my birthday. Hallelujah. So April is a special month in more than one way. It also is a special month because my anniversary, my wedding anniversary, is also in the month of April. So on the 16th, I'll be celebrating 19 years of marriage to my lovely wife, Barbara Jean Clark. And she is a wonderful person. We've gone through quite a few things in our life, and God has blessed us to continue to stay with one another. We've had some wonderful times. Hallelujah. And I celebrate our marriage as it is in the scriptures. April is also a great month because it's the time for the Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders annual prophetic conference. It's a lot of great things happening in the month of April. It's going to be in Detroit, Michigan, the 25th through the 27th of this month. And we are sure that someone will be giving some announcements at the end. But April is a good month. Here at the Living Way Christian Center, and those of us that are part of the ministry here, we were blessed to participate in 3 21-day fasts beginning this year. And it turned out to be 63 days, and it's been nothing but miracles, signs, and wonders that's been occurring. And there's so much to talk about. There's so much to place ourselves in the situation. Matthew, the 7th chapter and the 7th verse say, asking it shall be given unto you. Seeking ye shall find, not, and the door shall be opened unto you. And as we contemplate why God said those words, he always has given us an opportunity and a way to be able to ask us what it is that he has for us. And our scripture today is not coming from Matthew, but I was led to bring that to your attention because often we are asked for things and we may expect that we'll get answered right away. Sometimes we ask just to be asking. We really don't expect that we're going to get an answer. And sometimes we do wait on whatever it was that we asked for. And then when it doesn't come in the time frame that we think that it should come, we give up, put it aside, and kind of go on about our business. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's time for us to quit doing that. When we ask for something, we ought to have an earnest expectation that God hears us and that he expeditiously has dispatched the angels to us, give us what it is that our desires are. Even when he says no, he still sends us something more than just the answer. It's his thought and it's his pattern that he always would want us to be delivered of anything that is a hindrance. Generally speaking, when we ask for something, it's because we have some type of need. Often that need is a want. You know, it's something that we saw, something that, you know, creature comfort. You know, like I want a new car, or I want a new house, or I want a husband, I want a wife, I want some children. I want a new job. I want a better pay, you know. But often it's some things that we truly need. We may have been suffering from some type of illness or illness. Pretty much that we've had as a hereditary thing within our lives. We've maybe not renounced that disease or that ailment out of our lives, and therefore it's a recurring thing. And so we may have developed some illnesses because of our age, because of the way we've not protected ourselves health-wise or whatever. And so we'll pray for those things. And God's desire is to deliver us. His desire is to let us know that we're available and we're authorized to receive what it is that he has for us. And the scriptures all bear witness to that, but sometimes we have difficulty finding them because of our lack of knowledge through perhaps not studying, perhaps not putting in the efforts that we need to and calling someone else because we want them to. Perhaps it's because we put ourselves in a circumstance where we continue to sin, and then the enemy will make us think that we're unworthy to receive favor and grace from God. But see, those are things that we can't pay for grace. We can't pay for favor. In other words, there's nothing that we could do to get favor, because favor is unmerited. It's a gift from God. Because of who he is, he gives it at his discretion. And he gives it liberally. That's the great thing about it. He gives it liberally in spite of our shortcomings and our shortfalls. He still gives grace and mercy. And it's my intention today that we could talk about some ways that we can recognize the mercy that's available to us, and that we recognize that the mercy is happening every day. He said there's new mercies each day, every day. That means when we wake up in the morning, we got a whole new set of new mercies that are waiting for us, just waiting for us to claim. I pray today that you would turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, because that's where our scriptures is going to be coming from, because I want to identify a few things for you and walk us through a few things that maybe we've overlooked, or maybe we just haven't looked at it from this kind of perspective. Because it says Revelation, I was given a revelation several weeks ago, and that's what I intend to study and share with you, the revelation that God has given me concerning this book, chapter 4, and then we're going to be going back to some other chapters. But I want to remind you, as always, that you want to go ahead and get your listening devices or anything that you have to take notes, or anything that it is, whatever it is that you use to prepare yourself for studying. We hope that we'll have enough for you to keep you busy during the short time that we're going to be together. And so if you would repeat this with me, open thine mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. Psalms 119 and verse 18, asking God to lead, guide, direct us, and prepare us to receive his word, and to understand it with some clarity. In other words, open it up so that we can drink it and eat it, and then be able to go and tell somebody about it. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, it's wonderful to be here with you. And as always, we do let you know that We do read out of the King James Bible, and our favorite Bible of choice is the Amplified Bible. So we probably will be going back and forth in the scriptures to these scriptures in one of those two versions. Amen? Hallelujah. In the King James Version, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1 reads as such. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Hallelujah. 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 I want to break that down. I want to break that down. But I want to read it out of the Amplified as well. And then I want to tell you kind of a little story. Sometimes I like to try to do it like Jesus did. Tell you a little story and see if I can still keep your interest there. But we're blessed that we have the word to piggyback on everyday life that's going on. Amen. Out of the Amplified, chapter 4 says, after this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard addressing me, like the calling of a war trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future. Amen. The word of God is already blessed. If we were going to have a title, I would have to say that the title would be, is that the door is open. The door is open. About a month ago, I was at work, and a great friend of mine that I work with, he's a preacher as well. And he had built this door in this facility where we were working. And he built it to hide some stuff, or not to hide some stuff, but to keep some things away from people, to keep them from pilfering the items that were there. And also to kind of an out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. And over the years, he even forgot some of the things that was behind the door. And as he was going through a few things in his life, he had been fasting. We both were fasting at the same time. He's involved in another ministry, but we're great friends. And as he began to have a breakthrough in his life, God was revealing things to him. And we share often throughout the day many scriptures and revelations of how things are going on with us and what God has given us for that week. And on this particular day, he decided he was going to tear that door down. And he began to tear that door down, and he said, come on, Doc, I'm going to walk through this door. I'm going to walk through this door. Come on, walk through this door with me. He said, all the breakthrough is happening now. We're not going to turn around and go back through that door. We're going up and through this door. He said, come on. And he was excited about that thing. And he said the Lord had told him to walk through that door. He said, man, I want you to, since you're here, I want you to come through this door with me, because you finna have some exciting things getting ready to happen to you. Well, we walked through that door. And because, you know, belief is everything, men and women of God. You must have an earnest expectation that God uses people to show you the way, the truth, and the truth sometimes. He uses folks to tell you things sometimes that's right in your way, that's right in your face. And when we walked through that door, it was like a burden was lifted. And I didn't really understand what it was. I just knew how I felt. And I said, oh, man, you know, I got as excited as he was. And he's going to be on with me before the month is out to tell it from his perspective, because the way it happened to me, I got so excited walking through the door, coming up through the door, not looking back and not going back through that door the way that I came in. And I was going to preach that Sunday here at the ministry, and the things that I had been preparing, I was looking for a scripture. And since we walked through that door, I said, Lord, you're going to have to show me what this is about. And so as I came to Bible study on that, when it was a Wednesday a few weeks ago, and I got to Bible study, and at Bible study, we were watching an event on a DVD, and this scripture, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, came up, and immediately I knew. I started laughing because the revelation had hit me what it was that I was feeling earlier in the day. And so the Lord gave me that scripture, and I was able to incorporate that scripture into a sermon that we had that week. Was speak no evil, hear no evil, and see no evil. And as we go into this scripture here, I'm going to incorporate something to show you how the things that are around us mold how we think. Our parents, from the earliest times, our parents is the first people that we see, and they have the influence and the ability to teach us and to show us the things that are supposed to be of God. As a matter of fact, they've been mandated by God to do it in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and again in Deuteronomy chapter 6. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it specifically spelled out various things that was the responsibility of the parents to train us up in and to teach us of his ways. And unfortunately, men and women of God, some of our parents did as great a job as they could, but they fell short because they didn't continue doing all of the things that were listed in those early scriptures to make sure, no matter what, that we was going to be raised and brought up in the fear and the admonition of God. I believe the United States especially would be a lot different if we really, truly had been brought up in the fear and admonition of God. But as I said, I was going to break it down for you as the way God had given it to me. Here it says, after this I looked. Okay, after what? You know, what had been happening to John? You know, this was John. He received this revelation from the angel, from the Holy Spirit, and he was walked through this entire revelation. And all through chapter 2 through chapter 3, he had received information to do some research about the sins of each one of the seven churches. And what I mean by doing some research, he was shown and spoken and told what to write and to tell the angel of that church that was in Asia, those seven churches. And as I got to looking at it, almost all the way through it, it had a few things that was said again and again and again to each of the churches. One of those things was Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. It also said, he that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. That is the theme pretty much all the way through chapter 2 and all the way through chapter 3. It says, he that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What the Spirit is saying. Here in chapter 4 it said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened. And remember I told you the story about the door and walking through that door. The door begins and ends in heaven. Men and women of God, think about the conversation that you had. You have to go back in your spiritual mind now and think of the conversation you had with Christ before you was in the womb of your parent. Before you came down here to the earth and got this earth suit on. See, God tells us that he knew us before we was in our mother's womb. You know, he said that to different prophets, but it applies to us all. I knew you. That's why he knows every hair on our head. He knows our temperament. He knows who we are. But he sees us with the covenant or the agreement, the promise that we made before we came down here to live in this earth suit. Here's the problem. Once we get in the earth suit, there's boundaries. We have to operate in what we have heard and the anointing of what has been spoken to us before we even came. But we have boundaries because we're in a physical suit now. And in order for us to be able to get to God, we have to go to the spirit realm. We have to go back to where we were before we got in the suit. Okay, I hope you're following me because, you know, it's difficult when you're not looking at people's face sometimes. But I pray that you're still with me. So after this, I looked and behold, the door was open in heaven. It began in heaven. We made an agreement with God. God said, all right, and in my case, it said, on April 11, 1954, I'm going to put you in your earth suit. This happened to be, you're going to be kind of sickly. You're going to be kind of sickly, and you're going to go through some things, but you're going to be okay. You know, we probably forgot about that conversation that we had with the Lord. But it was in heaven before he put us in his earth suit. Said, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Okay, he had been hearing, John had been hearing in the previous two chapters, he had been hearing, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. But now he's saying the first voice that he heard was that like a trumpet. That means it was, you know, if you know anything about musical instruments, I've never seen anybody play the trumpet quietly. It's a loud instrument. It's a horn. It's in the horn section. It's a brass instrument. If you know anything about music, you have string instruments, you have brass instruments, and you have woodwind instruments. Well, this is a brass instrument. It's formed, it's encircled in a with valves that you press down on, and you blow into the trumpet. And it's a representation of the horns that came from goats and rams. And there's an art to blowing or sounding of the trumpet. You can make it sound very melodious. And in some churches, you know, some of us are blessed to have folks that are gifted in playing the shofar. The shofar is a ram's horn. And generally there's a mouthpiece that's placed on it, and you have to use what's known as armature, which is the position of your mouth, and you have to force the air through the small end of the horn in order for it to give you a loud noise out of the other end. And that is what he heard. He heard the voice, but it was so loud that it was, he used the illustration that it was like a trumpet. The key here is whatever was being said was very important because it was shouted like that of a trumpet for everybody to hear. It was not something that you could overlook. It was to be paid attention. It had significance. And it was talking with him. And the thing that it said was, come up hither. Come here. Come up here. Come to where I am. Now, men and women of God, how many times have you said in your voice or in your mind, I wish God would talk to me, you know, so that I would know it was him. I wish he would show me and let me see some stuff so that I know that I'm supposed to be doing what he say I'm supposed to be doing. It's not that we don't believe it. It's just we sometimes kind of be like Doubting Thomas. Hello. We want some tangible evidence sometimes, like that would change everything, and now we're going to do exactly what God said. But if you go back and you look in the scriptures, there were several men and women that talked to God and got an answer either through an angel, through the Holy Ghost, through Jesus himself coming down, or through God. And guess what? They still did not heed what they heard. See, sometimes hallelujah. Well, we're back. Sometimes God got to get our attention just like our parents did. Sometimes mom and daddy told us to do something. And guess what? We heard them. But our mind was somewhere else. And so they told us to do it again. And we probably was busy. Maybe it was watching TV, or we was eating some ice cream, or we was outside playing, or whatever it was we was doing. They told us, come to the house, wash your hands, or you're getting ready to eat. Whatever it was, we just wasn't understanding or getting what it was they were saying till they called our name with some force. Like that of a trumpet. Like that of a trumpet. And they called us by name. Generally, they called us by entire name. That name that we knew that there was no mistaking that they were talking to us. And then they got our attention because they usually yelled. And God gave us that same ability to understand that sometimes he has to shout at us. That's why, you know, what the Psalms 100 say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, it tells you the different kinds of things that you can use to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And it tells you to shout. It tells you to use whatever you have that'll make some noise. He said, I just want you to make some noise. You got to be able to get people's attention. When I was in high school, we had a band, you know. And the band had drummers. And, you know, you could hear the drummers. And when you heard the drummers, you knew, here comes the band. The drummers would come, and they had this special kind of beater or whatever. And there were strings on the bottom of the snares, and then the medium kind of drums were had the deep sound, and then they had the big drums, which had the bass sound. So you put those two together, and there was like a little melody. And when they beat on them, you could hear them reverberating throughout the neighborhood. And so people started running to see what all the commotion was about. Back in the day, the politicians used to drive through the streets with cars. Now, they don't do this no more, but, well, in Gary, it still happens every now and again. They used to drive through the city with cars and trucks that had bullhorns on the top of the car, and they were announcing whatever it was that they stood for. And generally, there was some kind of gimmick or some kind of something that they was doing that they wanted to get your attention. So you would hear, hey, yay, hey, ye, hey, ye. They were proclaiming in a loud voice. So God has always given us the ability. Psalms 150 say, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him. Praise him. With the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. He's telling us to use whatever it is that we have to get his attention. But here, he's trying to get our attention in chapter 4. He said, listen, I'm saying it loud enough to where you know it's me. I'm calling you by your whole name, and I'm talking to you. Come up here to where I'm at. Come back to, in the spirit, and I'm paraphrasing that. Come back to your first, or come back to our promise. Come back to the covenant. Come back and see. Because you lost track of some things. And that's why I said earlier, when I got this revelation after being at work with my buddy and what we were going through physically in life, I was preparing for a sermon, and the way God had given it to me at the time put it in a position to where, you know what, this has to be told to everyone, because as a reminder, and it needs to be shouted like the voice of a trumpet, just like it was here. And it says, come up hither. And you saw what it said in the Amplified. It says, and the first voice which I heard addressing me like the calling of a war trumpet. That means, you know, a war trumpet is different than a regular trumpet.
come up here and I will show you what must take place in the future. We always trying to figure out what's going on tomorrow. We got to know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I suggest to you that Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 says, every day go to that door that houses God. Come up to the door. Go back to the first love. Go back to the promise. Go back to the covenant. Go back to where you were before you was in this earth suit. And commune with him and find out what is going to happen tomorrow. Hallelujah. Find out what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, we've asked God for so many things. And then we wonder why we don't get them. The reason we don't get them is because we don't recognize the messenger that brought them. He said here, let's turn to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. And I'm going to read this, but I want to kind of break some stuff down for you and have you take a different look at it. Okay, if you're with it, it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Okay. Right there at the beginning, all the way through, when he begins to talk to the churches, he says to John to tell the angel of the church for that region or for that area to write what he's finna say. Now, all through the scriptures, God has told us to write the vision, make it plain. When we ask God for some things, why don't we write them down? That's pretty plain. It's a reminder to us and a reminder to him that it's important. Usually when you write something down, what happens? It jogs your memory. It puts you in a mode to pray or to ask properly. It's kind of like a checklist. But here is the main thing that I want you to take a look at concerning the angel and the writing. An angel is known as a special messenger. That means messenger implies that he's coming from somewhere with a message. Since angels were made strictly for the will of God to do his bidding, that means they're sent by God. They're not going to be sent by God unless there is a need for something to be delivered to the person that the message is being sent to. But here, you know, lies the problem. Many of us have not visualized in this earth suit that there are angels. Okay, let me put it a little bit differently. Before we came to this earth suit, we saw the angels. We was kicking it.
we saw everything that's going on in heaven. We had conversations with God, and then we were placed in our earth, so we were sent down here to do what it is that we do until our spirit goes back to God. And so we made a pact with him. We made a promise, signed a promissory note with the blood, got put in an earth suit and came down here and was birthed, a different kind of birth because of what it was we had to do here on the earth. New birth for what it was we had to do here on the earth. We were already equipped. We were already placed in a position. We were already authorized to do it. We already was able to access the signs, the wonders, and the miracles necessary to do the mission of what we were sent here for. Now, how many of y'all really believe that? If we were sitting in the audience right now, probably wouldn't be a whole lot of hands going up. And then if it was, if I asked you one question on how to explain it, you may not still understand it or fully understand it. And what the reason I'm saying that, because I'm, and again, don't get me wrong, I'm not belittling anyone. I'm saying all of us had to learn it at one time or another, what it is that I'm speaking of now. So you may not have known that you had to talk with God before you came down here in your earth. So you may not have known that once you got here, you was already authorized to receive everything that you needed to get the job done. You may not have known that God had placed angels over assignment to watch over you just by yourself. And I ain't talking about one or two. I'm talking about a legion. And I hear that legion is somewhere around 7,000. There's an individual angel that's assigned just to you for a lifetime. 7,000, that's just one legion. Okay. Remember when Jesus said that he could call on 1,000 legions of angels to come to his rescue? Now, 1,000 legions, that's what? 70,000 angels? So if the master has access to 70,000 angels at any given time, obviously, why would he need, first of all, that many? I'm glad you asked. The enemy talks about how he want to be above God. Talking about Satan. You know, that old serpent, Lucifer, who was the anointed cherub. Yeah, high ranks up in the heavenlies before he got cast down. He had plenty of prophets. And he saw the armies that God had. And guess what? I spent 20 years in the United States Air Force, and so I know a little bit about order and organization. And I believe that pretty much every army on the earth was patterned from information that was provided to them of the heavenly army. In other words, there was a commander-in-chief. There was a four-star general, a three-star general, a two-star general, a one-star general, a colonel, a lieutenant colonel, a major, a captain. I mean, there was an order of rank. And not only that, each one of those positions had specific things that they were responsible for. In other words, they had regions that they were responsible for. They had various assignments that they were specialties in. No different than the same Army, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard, and Navy that we have here on the earth now. But the enemy, he made his army, and he the only thing he could do was copy what he had seen or try to duplicate what he had seen. And he thought that he could make it better. And so with him having an army and God having an army, 1,000 or 7,000 is a drop in the bucket compared to the many that's in the total army. So there's angels all around us at all times. I mean, it ain't like there's a scarcity of them. It's a whole bunch of them. Why don't we see them? That's my whole point. That's where I'm going. Why don't we see them? Because somewhere along the line, we've been convinced that they don't exist. How is that so? When before we got here, we knew they existed. Before we got in this earth suit, before we was that babies can see them. See, when you're still fresh and unimpressionable, you see everything that's around you. See, when we were babies, we saw. That's why you ever notice that a baby, if a person got a evil countenance, the baby knows it and don't want to have nothing to do with that person. You pay attention to your babies. And the older we get, the less our senses or our awareness is. You know, even God, even Jesus said, suffer the little children to come. Because they're impressionable. They are hungry for the word and the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding. We don't understand what drives us and puts us in a position to where we want to come and get back to that oneness with God. Just like Adam was in the beginning. But here, even all we got all the way to the last book that's in the Bible, the 66th book, and got to the fourth chapter, and here God himself has to say, come here so that you can see what's going on in the future. I implore you men and women of God to take heed to this portion of what God is saying to us. Take heed. Be hallelujah, hallelujah. I implore you men and women of God, put yourself in a position to receive what it is that God has for us. Put yourself in a position to know. Go to that door daily. Go in your mind. You know, God has said for us to renew our mind. That's a daily thing. Renewing our mind. We have to place ourselves and put ourselves in a position to receive what it is that God has for us. It's too many things that's going on in the world today that's happening because we don't see the angels. We don't know that the angels are there. We don't know that the things we ask God for has been delivered. So they coming down and they knocking on the door, they ringing the doorbell. They're trying to deliver the goods to us. But because we don't recognize them, they have to take the stuff back, return the sender. If you go back to the door and you look, you'll remember those things that you knew before you came down here in this earth suit. And I implore you, and I share with you that this is the first part of the rest of your life. If you want your miracles and your signs and your wonders, and you want to see your miracle this month, you want to see your miracle today and tomorrow and day after tomorrow, so you can have miracles every day. Matter of fact, you do see a miracle. You are a miracle. All those thousands of breath that you breathe every day that are involuntary, that you couldn't stop if you wanted to, that's a miracle. All of the blood that's rushing through your veins, that's rushing through your bone, that's a marrow in the marrow of your bone. Those amoebas and those things that are on the inside of you that are fighting those diseases and fighting the sicknesses and other things in you that don't go along with what's supposed to be in your body, and they are automatically fighting. Those are little angels on the inside of you. You're made up of the same thing that the earth is made of, 3/4 water. You're made from the earth itself. You got three different systems inside of you, representation of the Trinity. And all three of those systems all work independently, but if one of them shut down, and all of them are vital to us living. Respiratory system, if you can't breathe, oxygen doesn't get to the places that it needs to go to, you go into a coma. Your brain shuts down. If the blood, the circulatory system shuts down, if the blood can't get to the heart quit pumping. If the blood can't get to the eardrums, you're not able to hear. If the blood doesn't get to the brain to tell the synapses for you to open your eyes, you don't get a chance to see. They all work together as one. And what I'm trying to tell you, men and women of God, is that we're going to have to get the same way. And the only way we're going to do that is we got to remind ourselves or put ourselves back in a position to receive, to understand, and to know that God is the one that's in control. See, his glory, his grace, his mercy is not something that we can take for granted. And there's too many things that's happening around us. You keep talking about the end times and the last days, but yet you're not taking a look at the signs that are indicated that these are the last days. And even this book that we're in right now, if you continue reading, you'll see a lot of the things that's happening here on the earth now. It said, no man knows the day, no man knows the hour that the Son of Man is going to come, right? But I'm here to tell you this. When he come back, he's coming back as a lion. You know, it's a description in the third chapter, here in the scriptures, that talks about Jesus, and it talks about he got two swords coming out of his mouth, and it's a glorious description. People are afraid to read Revelation. Revelation is one of the greatest books that's ever been written, but here, especially in this fourth chapter. Go back to day one. Go back to the promise. Go back to where you were before you got in this earth suit. That's the revelation that I got about going through that door, as I shared with you. And there's more to come. There's more to share with you. And I do want to just say this one thing. You know, we've been praying for the city of Glory or the city of Gary, and I implore you to pray for your city. I implore you to pray for those that God has intended for you to pray for. And I also want you to pray to receive spiritual strength. You need to pray to receive spiritual strength. See, the devil takes delight in weakening the strength of the saved. You know, see, if he succeeds in weakening us, then we become his victim, then he'll be succeeding in executing all the wicked programs that he has. You see, but as long as you're spiritually strong, the devil cannot and will not be able to execute his agenda for our lives. See, we need this prayer to renew our strength in the presence of God. We need this program and this prayer to mount up with wings as eagles. Hallelujah. Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, verse 10, Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 29 through verse 31, 2 Samuel, 22nd chapter, verse 33 and verse 36 is the Bible study scriptures for receiving or confession of this prayer. See, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am a beloved child of God. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in the blessed Holy Spirit, which is dwelling inside of me. I believe in the unshakable and eternal power in the Word of God, and I believe that life and death are in the power of my tongue. I believe that I make this confession unto life with the power in my tongue, according to the words which the Lord has put in my mouth. This day I shall prosper. For it is written that Jesus Christ offered his blood as a drink and his flesh as bread. And he said that whosoever drinks and eats them shall not die forever. Now, see, I have strong faith in my heart, and I hold it in my hand. Which is a cup containing the blood of this Lamb of God, and I drink it that I may have eternal life. I receive unto myself the virtue, strength, power, might, and anointing in the blood, and I say, let the blood quicken all that is dead within me, that all sucked and sapped and paralyzed spiritual milk and strengthen my life, resurrect by the blood. Let the blood re-energize and revitalize, reactivate and revive all dead potentials and spiritual gifts within me. Let the blood flush out of me all inherited or self-acquired evil deposits in my system. Let it purify my blood system. Let it make old things pass away in my life and transform everything to become new. Let the power in the blood clean my spiritual vision and wash my spiritual pipe, that I may be receiving from the Lord unhindered. I eat the flesh of Jesus with the heart of faith, for it is written that his flesh is bread. Indeed, I eat it now, and I eat it new, so that I am also eat with him in his glory. Men and women of God, glorify in the communion with Christ Jesus. Know that without that communion with him daily, you're just spinning. You're spinning around like a top. That means you don't know when you quit spinning, your head is you're dizzy. You don't know which direction to go in. You're off balance. Psalms 82 talks about the balance, that the whole world is off tilt because we are in opposition. And I implore you, men and women of God, put yourself in a position to receive that which is holy, that which is unselfish, that which is revelation, so that you can go forth and be that which God intends for you to be. I thank God for you. I thank God for you. See, without him, we're nothing. See, I eat the flesh of Jesus to receive new spiritual strength and vigor. And I receive new spiritual strength and vigor to put all the works of the flesh under subject, to paralyze the desires of my flesh, to buffet my flesh
to paralyze the power of my flesh and make it obedient to the laws of the Lord. I want to always be obedient. I don't want my flesh winning nothing. And as I eat and drink the flesh and blood of my Lord Jesus Christ, I renew my covenant with him. We need to renew our covenant daily, as I was saying. Go through that door. Remember what we said before we got in this earth suit. And receive the life therein, for it is written, life is in the blood. Thus I possess the life and the spirit of Christ in me. Jeremiah found the words of God, and he ate them, and they became the joy of his heart. I have found the words of God, and now I throw them in my mouth like vitamin pills. And I chew them up. I digest them, and I let them produce within me the power to rejoice to the Holy Ghost, the power to be steadfast and in following God, the power to walk circumspectly, the power of holy living, and the power of unashamed faithfulness in all circumstances. We have to be unashamed of the things that are near us. The Word of God is spirit and life, and enters Ezekiel, and it was so part of him that it was in his feet. Let the Word of God raise every downtrodden area in my life and in yours. Let the Word be like fire. Well, you know, when fire get on you, you can't, guess what? When you put your hand in the fire, you have to real quickly move your hand because there's a burning sensation. But Jeremiah says, like fire shut up in my bones, it's just like fire. That's what you want. You want that Holy Ghost fire shut up in your bones. And start looking for your angels so that you can start receiving your gift. And that writing that we're talking about, you got to sign for your gift. Else it's going to get sent back to the sender. You sign for it with your obedience. And your obedience comes from turning away from sin. You confess it with your mouth. When you write it down, you're writing it down on the tablets of your heart. Then you can sign for your gifts. Call on your angel. And then look at each one of those churches. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But look at each one of those churches. Each one of them had a certain sin. Even though they were doing some great things, they had some stuff that they still had to work on. Somewhere in every one of those churches, there's some sin that you are unrepentant of. So begin to start looking at those chapters in chapter 2 and chapter 3 and start picking out those things that fit you. You ain't got to do it in front of nobody, but you know where you fall short at. There's something in every one of them churches that's in every one of us. So start getting rid of it so you can start signing for your deliverance, so you can start signing for your gifts, so you can start seeing the signs and wonders and the miracles, wonders and the miracles, and you can start manifesting. And your angels, you can start seeing them. You can start seeing them on a daily basis. And isn't that what it's about, men and women of God? Seeing God and seeing the hand of God, seeing the face of God through his messengers. And then that's why we don't believe in stuff that we hear from the men and women of God here on the earth, because we don't believe in his heavenly messages in the spirit that he's been sending with our gifts. And I'm saying to you, he's telling us in the fourth chapter, hey, come up here so you can see what the future is about. You want to see what's going on tomorrow? Come up here to the door. Hallelujah. I pray, Heavenly Father, I pray even right now, Father, that you bless those that have shared and listened on today. I pray that it's been a blessing to those that have heard, oh God. And I pray even right now, Father, that you would open the understanding of those that are listening, Father, to go back to the original day before we got in this earth suit, Father, and to sup with you. You said in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation, Father, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. You also said, oh God, that as we overcome and endure, that you got certain
and special gifts for us, oh God. And so I declare and decree even right now, God, that we are there and that we begin, Father, to call on you and go to the door to see you as we did before we got in the earth suit, and we can't see what's going to happen tomorrow and in the future. And then we can remember the covenant, oh God, and do those things that you have instructed us to do. I revel in it, and I look forward to it. And I say that there's no hindering spirit that's going to keep me from doing it. Henceforth, now, and forevermore, in Jesus' name I pray, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We are so glad that you have been with us on today. And we're going to open it up for announcements at this time. Hallelujah. Okay. We do want to remind you that the 25th through the 27th in the city of Detroit, Michigan, the Kingdom Daughters and the Kingdom Builders are presenting the annual prophetic conference. And you still have time for reservations, I believe. You still have time to, there's going to be some wonderful things going on there, and you want to be part of that this year. So if you go to the website, www.kingdomdaughtersplaza.org or kingdombuildersplaza.org, and you'll be able to get the information concerning the conference. And we want to make sure that you have access to it. You can also contact me at carlton17@gmail.com. And I'll be able to forward the information to you to make sure that you have access to it. And we thank God for you on today. We pray that we've been a blessing to you. We don't know if there's anyone on the air listening. I know that there's some on the computer. But at this time, we may have a minute or two that we can open up the lines and allow you to make comments. Okay. Well, God bless you and God keep you. We thank you once more and again for being with us, and we look forward to being with you on next week, which will be my birthday, Thursday, April the 11th. And we pray that God will continue to bless you, and again, we ask that you will continue in prayer for all those that are in bereavement, and especially the Hannah family with the homegoing of her grandfather. And we pray for their strength, and we pray for their peace during this time, that they have a wonderful homegoing, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. And then he can also give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. And sometimes that's the time that we understand what that means. And so to God be the glory. Hallelujah. God bless you. God keep you.
God speaks to a people, when he speaks to a house, when he speaks through a prophet, when he speaks through apostolic voices, when he speaks through a minstrel and a psalmist, I believe he listens for a response. Let's respond tonight from the other side. Some of you have been pressing for years. Up nights, can't sleep. You feel this anti-you barrier pushing down on you. But every time you keep pressing, that barrier has having to back up. It's having to withdraw. It's a glass ceiling that you've been hitting with the top of your head. And instead of getting upset at that glass ceiling and quitting, there's a heart rate that's rising. Your calf muscles are getting stronger. You're starting to jump again. Regardless of the temporary pain you feel in your head, regardless of the temporary pain you feel in your body, there's a breakthrough. There's a breakthrough. That glass has to shatter. That wall has to come down. I say it every floor. I'm breaking. Breakthrough. Every promise that you said, every promise that you made to us, we
And begin to tell the Lord. I want to be free right now. Tell the Lord. I'm ready to be delivered right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Open your mouth and tell him. God, I give you every failure. God, I give you every secret in my life. God, I give you every hidden thing. I'm ready. Shake it off of me. Deliver me in my secret. That I might be free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 30 more seconds. 30 more seconds. He's breaking it off of you. He's changing your appetite. He's changing your desire. Somebody clap your hands for these people. Somebody's getting free. We break the cords. We break the cords of wickedness. Woman, be free.
I thank you, Lord, for salvation and healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. I thank you that the anointing, your anointing that destroys the yoke in the name of Jesus. Father God, I decree and declare that let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be established in every community, city, and state. I lift up every intercessor, every watchman, every seer, every battle axe, every spiritual legislator of the Lord and prayer warriors who stand in between the porch and the altar. Lord, I thank you for the gates of righteousness. I cover them with the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Anoint your people to tread upon serpents and scorpions. I agree with heaven that the people of God have power over the all power of the enemy. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for king discernment, Father God, that will come upon every intercessor in the name of Jesus, God. Let every hidden snare of the enemy, Father God, against your church be exposed. I bind up every assignment of every bloodthirsty man in the name of Jesus. We bind and break all spirits of witchcraft and backlash and revenge and retaliation on those who have given their lives to stand in the gap in the name of Jesus. Every fiery dart of the enemy against the anointed one has boomeranged in the name of Jesus. We take dominion over spirits of heaviness and confusion and spirits of despondency in the name of Jesus that will cause the intercessors not to be alert and not to be on the wall in the name of Jesus. We pray against every distraction. We come against all frustration assigned to make intercessors get off the wall. We say in the name of Jesus, they shall be on the wall and they shall intercede and pray. What thus said the Lord in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare tonight that we are spiritual legislators, that we will speak what thus said the Lord. We break and destroy the power that will come against prayer. I thank you for intercessors who abide under the covering of spiritual authority in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare tonight that there will be no lone ranger spirits. We break spirits of rebellion, monotony, cliques, false prophetic unction in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare spirits of unity, cohesiveness among the intercessors in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare that they will run with the vision of their leader, Father God, that you will give them prophetic insight right now in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare tonight that they will live upright and holy in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that they will make up a hedge and build walls around the body of Christ. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that they are rising from their slumber, God, that they are rising from their sleep in the name of Jesus. Oh, intercessor, where art thou? I command you to arise and take your place in the earth in the name of Jesus. Arise and take your gate in the cities. Arise and take your place in the name of Jesus. Intercessor, I shake you from your slumber. I command you to rise up and begin to decree a thing, and it shall be established in the name of Jesus. Let every intercessor, God, let every intercessor under the sound of my voice, God, let them be a student of the word, God. Let us study to show ourselves approved in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, we yield unto you, Lord Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will rebaptize us, God. Baptize us with Holy Ghost and with fire, God. Give us new tongues, God. Give us new discernment, God. Let that spirit of discernment be upon us, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, God. Discernment, God. Let it be upon us, God. Let us begin to see things, God, even before they manifest, God. Let us begin to be able to prophesy, Father God, what will be on the morning paper, God. In the name of Jesus. There's a need for you. Begin to arise and take dominion. Walk in authority in the name of Jesus.
Somebody shout hallelujah to the King tonight. Church, are you ready to take back all that the enemy has stolen? Reclaim the systems of this world for the kingdom of this world. I become the kingdom of our Lord. How can we walk around and tell them, take it back, take it back, take it back, take it back, take it back? Tonight, Father, we reclaim the mountains. We go forth in the power and authority. Come on, SG, lift it down. Say, can't you hear?
That sounds like old time church to me.
As a matter of fact,
Green, I want to dedicate this in memory of your mama and my mama too, Miss Ruth Green. Is that all right? Y'all feel like doing this?
Let's do it.
Y'all feel like doing this? Some old time song. Come on, listen.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood.
Hey.
I know it was the blood. Save me. One day when I was lost, He died upon the cross.
Yes.
I know it was the blood. Save me.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Remember, there was another old song that we used to sing in church on Sunday morning.
Yes,
song goes something like this.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, y'all, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
They used to sing old song that says this for him.
They said, hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. Yeah, hush, be quiet, y'all. Hush, yeah, yeah, somebody's calling my name. Hush, what's the fuss now? Hush, dear Lord, somebody's calling my name.
Influenced the Williams brothers a whole lot, called the Nightingales. They did a song like this. They said,
I want to be at the meeting. I want to be at the meeting. Lord said, I want to be at the meeting when all the saints get home.
Around the
throne.
Hey!
Forget about it. And if he has converted your soul,
God's calling for a life that's holy.
Holy.
No Christian should be ashamed to live it boldly.
Holy.
Now add love,
love,
joy,
joy,
peace,
peace,
and love, suffering. Now put them all together and it's called something like this, and you're calling.
If you know your sickness, your burdens, your poverty, your problems are under your feet, begin to give God a rejoicing praise for victory as you stand over the devil, for he is under your feet. Hallelujah. Listen, for those of you that are going through, for those of us that are waiting on His promise, understand God has not forgotten you. When times get tough, you got to look up to heaven and encourage yourself and say,
Thank you for being together.